Hey, my name is James, and you're listening to the TCR, you bitch.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 127, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. The time, 8:36. The date, October 22nd, 2018. I am one of your hosts for this journey into esports. Hello, my name is Tim. Alongside, as always, is Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we have Anuj.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, hello. Anuj, currently hacking right now, maybe.
Alt-tabbing out.
Grab his arm. Grab his arm.
The way of his people. Cheating. I gotta make this intro quick, because Alchemist is in my head that our intro is way too long.
He's watching now.
I tell him to fast forward it. I've heard from dozens, maybe even millions, that they love our intro. And you know what? If you don't know what the show is by now, what are you doing? We are an esports podcast. We talk about esports things. You can follow us on Twitter, @TheCenterRing, and our website, tcr.gg. You can hit us up on our Discord from there. Our YouTube, which is freshly updated, by the way. So if all you do is listen to us through our YouTube channel, you're going to enjoy quite a bit of out-of-date esports news. So, you're welcome. But for this episode, it's hot off the presses esports news. Hot and fresh. We're going to talk a little bit about Optic Gaming, their India team in CSGO. They're all over the news recently with getting busted for cheating. Or at least one of them. Or maybe all of them. That's up to debate, so we'll discuss that. We're going to end the show with e-news, as always. We got quite a bit to get to there, considering we didn't have time to get to it last week. Because, Mr. Gotta Be On Time Alchemist went about 40 minutes past time that I said we normally do it, so no one tells him that, though. And to start off the show, let's get into some other hot topic items. We did say we're going to start with Thorn, right?
No.
I didn't swap this on you. Are we starting with India?
You did, but we can swap back.
No. Don't let me run the show. All right. Yes, the T stands for Tim, but the CR stands for everyone.
God,
we'll start. I just got it switched. I got it swapped. All right. We have two topics today, and there's a 50-50 shot that I got it right. I got it wrong. I'm sorry. Let's talk about India next. No.
Yes.
What are we doing?
India first.
Oh, India now. God. India now.
India now. India now.
I'm a professional.
Baby.
I'm a professional.
We're going straight to the motherland.
I'm sorry.
Right now.
I'm sorry. All right. We're talking about Optic India now. I'm getting this. We'll get the hang of it. It's 127 episodes. Maybe by 128, I'll know what I'm
look,
doing.
If you need to tag me in occasionally, dude, it's okay. All right. You just let me know. You
please.
Let me know we're here.
Like, please.
We got
I feel
you.
Like I feel like I need it. No, so there were very big cheating allegations. Cheating's always big in esports, but for whatever reason, with this case, it seems extra huge. Maybe being that it's CSGO and it's Optic, which is like a premier CSGO organization, who kind of is hitting rough waters. We talked about them going through their own layoffs and financial woes recently, and this is just one more thing that, as an organization, they were probably like, you know, we started this Optic India as like a good faith of, hey, look, we're global. We're going to do something for the community and help grow esports. And then India is just like, no, we're going to disrespect it all up and down. And so now going to our own Indian esports correspondents, here is... Ooh, hold on. I got something funny.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
All right, ready? We're going to restart. And now, going to our own Indian esports correspondents.
Anuwe Bajiaje.
Oh. Live on the scene in Mumbai. And boy, do I got a story for you, gentlemen.
Wait. No. Before you begin, screen share, search word.exe right now.
I have it running. We're good to go. I come prepared, boys. Crisp, clean, lock, okay? So, yeah, I mean, to give you a little background on the story here. So, yeah, obviously with Optic India that he's talking about. A player on the team, Forsaken. This is all taking place at the CSGO, like 2 Asia. It was the Extreme Island, or Extreme Lands tournament that they were in. Optic India was playing. And in the middle of the game, an admin spotted something suspicious happening on Forsaken's computer. And by suspicious, he saw a program running when the player was all tabbed out. So the dude's all tabbed out during a timeout. The admin spots something on his screen. I believe command prompt was up as well on the screen. He noticed the admin looking at him and quickly deleted whatever was running on the computer. The admin came up there as he's trying to completely delete the program now from the trash bin. And that's when you see this GIF take place that's going all over the place, right? Of the player pushing the admin away and the admin kind of jumping in to stop him from doing whatever he's doing, recovers the file, loads the file, runs it. They see that it's an aim hack and therefore disqualifies them not only from the event, but I mean, you know, getting into what the, I guess what it all turns out to happen here is that they've obviously all been kicked off of the team now as well. Not just the cheater.
Yeah, guilty by association, essentially.
First off, it's
insane.
Props to the admin, right? Because there's been a lot of times where I've always said, even on the show, like I feel like those admins, A, don't even know what they're looking for, or B, they're too nervous to approach any player about it. You know, So for him to be like, no, I definitely saw something and you're not just going to push me away and as I'm watching you go into the recycling bin and delete something, right?
It was so super aggressive too. Like he grabbed his arm and like pulled it back. I mean, it was like, whoa.
As Anuj did say that like the entire team was let go from Optic. And I do see like some people saying, man, that sucks for them, you know, just because one guy screwed up. But then it's like really turning out like this is like years. Like this wasn't just one tournament that he decided to hack in. This dude, this is how he became pro, was pretty much by hacking his way. He was hacking at a ESL event in India. And I know.
So that was the ESL like qualifiers. That was like to go for, I think it was like a major qualifier.
Really?
Because they beat a team called Brutality, who at the time was like, I think India's number one or two team. And they posted clips on their Twitter of matches from that where there were like a highlight play of Forsaken in the match getting a 4K and things like that. But yeah, I mean, this was happening at, I want to go double check while we're talking about it here, but I believe it was for a major ESL event.
I know it was. I know a lot of people are saying they're trying to paint ESL in a bad light. I don't think that's probably different from the ESL that we know from a North American tournament or an EU tournament. I'm sure that was contracted out. But besides the point, because I mean, that's kind of the whole point of cheating, right? Is not getting caught. So I don't really, I'm not going to, unless like it was so blatant, right, that an organization or a tournament organizer let it go by. But I mean, that's the whole cheater's prerogative is not getting caught. So I don't really understand like the whole, in retrospect, why didn't you see them? Well, okay, none of us saw it, right? These supposedly people, I mean, I haven't ever watched them, but there are people watching streams and stuff, and I know he's been accused heavily in the past, but my thing is, are we really buying that his teammates didn't know?
No. I mean, I think they did, because you play with somebody enough, and you see, like, more to your point, Tim, you were talking about this earlier today, where, like, okay, you're scrimming, you die, you're watching his screen, you're gonna notice, like, more like you said, if you play enough CS, you're gonna know a cheater from a non-cheater. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you can't spend that much time with somebody and not know they're cheating. I mean, you can even see, and you can go back and look at the video of him actually getting caught. You can see one of his teammates in the background, just like the look on his face was like a look of horror, like,
Because he knew. He knew exactly what was going on. This was not this was not a first time trying to take a look at it. So they all have been knocked out. Anuj, though, I know for you, this kind of hits closer to home than anything, just because I remember talking about it like way back when, you know, India was investing all this money into esports, and then Optic picked up the Counter-Strike scene, and we were all kind of joking about it, but it was kind of cool to see, like, oh damn, there's a new, you know, we might be seeing, it's kind of like when Tyloo started becoming relevant, right? We were like, oh, there's a new scene now for Counter-Strike. We got to worry about the Chinese scene. And maybe this was going to be the start of India. You've probably read up on it more than anyone. Like, is this being viewed as like a whole, you now we can't trust CSGO?
Well, India? It didn't help that the reputation was already bad in general, right?
Like, and
it,
why is that, you, though?
But that's kind of like, when I say that, you're talking about like when you play with Brazilians or Russians, you don't have, like, there's like a little bit of a negative connotation associated with it, whether it's a communication barrier, whether people find them, you know, they're more, they're just different cultures, right? So I feel like if you see something like this happen, and then you see a company like ESL put out a statement that we're now investigating 20 players to like go search their hard drives, it's a little misleading in the title. They were, what mm-hmm. they should have said is, we're just going back to check everybody's SSD.
We're investigating hard drives is what they're doing.
Like, yeah, they're not, like,
they're not looking at the players as in they suspect the players of doing it. It's just kind of like a, hey,
we found it on one, now we know what to look for, let's see if we find it on any of the others, right? So that doesn't help, but it does set the scene back. I mean, you look at like sponsorship opportunities that get lost, because if a big market team is invested in you, like Optic or Infinity or whatever, they've invested in you, and then they have to drop the whole team. Like, there's a lot of money and time and resources that are now lost in like what you would, you know, they probably took a couple years to try and build up. So it's scary for the next investor to go in, especially if you're not local. You can't monitor the situation, right? You have to rely on your teammates in this case to make sure they're being honest and hold each other accountable, because they are all you have at the end of the day, that are, you know, they're probably living together, or they're at least playing, you know, all day, every day when they can. But yeah, I think it sets them back from a sponsorship standpoint. I think it sets them back from a trust from the community standpoint, which we already know this community is easy to be toxic to begin with. So if you throw this on top, like, you look at the French scene, it's not forgotten what several players in the French scene did. It's not forgotten what IBP did. It's still taking like 3 years, like, for that. Even that to
even
finally,
organizations and tournaments are starting to forgive, but yet you still have people,
you still have a lingering feedback from it, though there's still people that completely disagree with them even being allowed to play at this point. So I think the same thing's going to happen here. You know, if you see somebody that's good in India, it's going to take away credibility from them. They're going to have to prove themselves on the main stage.
I think you can really compare it to that, the iBuyPower situation. And of course, we're talking about when they threw matches, right? And you had Swag, Steel,
Dazed, AZK, and all these guys.
Well, and then the one out there, though, that never got in trouble because he claimed that, you know, hey, I never really took part in any of this, was Skadoodle, right?
And he knew about it. He just didn't get, oh, God, whatever, Tim.
But maybe that helped. Never got in trouble, right? But this is very similar to this situation, right? So are we going to judge the other players of Optic India, where it's like, okay, did you know about it or did you not? And they definitely did. There's no way they didn't. No way they didn't.
Look, I know you said they even scrimmed together. They're watching demos, like, probably all the time of each other's games and, like, how each other play in order to, you know, look at mistakes and all that. There's no way they didn't at least have an inkling, right? Like, okay, maybe there's something going on here. And then he's all tabbing out.
You're sitting next to each other. I mean, we've been at LANs before. You can see your teammates' monitor.
I naturally just sit there and watch my friends' monitors half the time, just because I'm like,
they're not looking at something like that.
Yeah.
So now it comes into this whole, like, public court of, like, okay, yes, you didn't cheat, but you also didn't do anything to stop your own teammate from cheating, and you benefit from it. This is almost worse than Skadoodle knowing that they were throwing, because, again, in their case, you always make the argument of they were the ones losing, you know? So it's... I feel like you can kind of judge them a little... I mean, if you just had to pick something, right?
No, you, okay.
They threw, so they were losing. They were almost benefiting other teams by winning.
Only costing people thousands upon thousands of dollars.
They shouldn't get, like, a lifetime sentence or anything. I mean, they didn't cheat, ultimately. It was right.
That's what I'm saying.
It's, one player it's that cheated.
Different.
Quick question. What kind of... I know he was using aim lock hacks, right? But, mm-hmm. like, what was he also walling?
No, so it's just a trigger aim hack. So it's not like it's even being used all the time, right? If you go look at the stats, it would show you that it's not being used 24/7. It's basically like key command, right? So you would either hold down an additional button when you fire for it to aim lock type situation. Okay. So it's triggered to turn on.
Yeah.
So what he was doing is just saving it for important situations, right? Your team is down 14-13. If you win this round, you take the round and you put them on the save. It essentially clutches the game, or a round to close out a game, or whatever. Clutch situations, he could use it then. It's not like he's using it on every play, but so you wouldn't be able to just watch him naturally and accuse him of cheating every time he's out there. You would have to catch it in those instances and then start to like put tape together on, okay, this is starting to look a little weird here, right? Because Flusha, there's so many players that have been accused of hacking. You Rocks, do have to,
I mean, yeah, I mean, the whole thing came from off people. Of it.
So to catch somebody in the act the way they caught him, that's the most shocking part, right? Like, I feel like we all think that there is somebody in the scene that has to be hacking. To be oblivious to it and say it's not happening, I mean, it's got to be crazy to think that India is the only person that's cheating at events, whether
I 100%. I think it's very naive to think that, oh, well, this is why you can't go to India, or this is why you can't trust, you know, the Chinese scene or any other scene other than NAEU because they're all hacking. Dude, there is so much of this probably going on at the lower level. You know, I'm talking semi-pros, fourth tier teams trying to make the Mountain Dew League. You know, the ones where the stepping stone leagues where... not all their games are even streamed, right? Or if they are, they don't have any viewers or anything like that. You definitely have guys that are doing just this type of hack, right? Not all the time. They're not blatant. It's just, dude, I'm in a 1v1 situation and I need to hit this shot. All right, let me hold shift while doing this and boom, I got the headshot. And if you we do saw it at the right major... moment, you can do it.
We saw it in the major opens, right? Where they did the open like championships or whatever to like get through and try and get to the minors or whatever. You saw all the cheating that took place in those games, you know? So it's there. It's just very rare that it happens at this level. And more in this day and age, right? Even when the French scene did it, Counter-Strike was still in its infancy in terms of CSGO. Now it's like, I mean...
This tournament wasn't small potatoes either, right? This was like a $100,000 tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There was no $100,000 tournaments when I don't think like some of these guys were doing it back then. Yeah. CS was like, now this is considered a tier one event, essentially. $100,000 event has got to be a...
That's up there in CS.
Tier one event, at least in India, considered a tier one event for sure. So,
well, shots fired in India, God.
No, but like in the Asian community, in the Asian scene.
He can say that.
Yeah. In this climate, I can get away with it. No, yeah. In the Asian scene, 100K tournament's pretty big, right? Because you only see $250,000 tournaments for like, you know, the European and American scene. So 100K is a big event in Asia, whether that's China, India, you know, whatever. So to do it and have the courage to do it shows his stupidity. It shows his immaturity. He won't get another shot in Counter-Strike. Like,
or is he, I guess?
While Anuj is looking up that, I read something that had mentioned that there were 20 people being investigated. Do they actually think there are 20 people that could have been cheating, or was it more so protocol?
Earlier. Yeah, that's what... Thanks for joining the show, Brett.
Welcome.
I'm asking the question.
The show.
Did you mention that? If so, I'll take the L on that one.
It was a solid 3-minute conversation.
That was a really big part of the earlier discussion. I'm on like 2 hours.
What's the score of the Nats right now? Tell me the score of the Nats game.
I can't, man. I mean, I might as well be watching it. I'm so out of it right now.
Yes. Yeah, so what we were saying, just to give the audience a recap and our own studio.
Yeah, because now we have 5 people watching. So
For what it was, is ESL said that they are going to go back and investigate all 20 hard drives of people that were attending the event. Because they were able to catch it on his hard drive after the date, they figure, okay, now we know what we could potentially look for. Let's just go check the other hard drives. They're not accusing anybody. It's not pointed in any direction. It's just a, hey, we found it on one. We might as well go back and check the others. So,
okay, now that you say that, I remember now. So I appreciate you.
No problem. I got you.
I'm slipping in my old age.
Tim with the intro, Brett with the mid. I'll finish the end game here.
There you go, man. Carry us, please.
So I think regardless, though, it's something that I think it does happen everywhere. Like, look at professional sports. Just because no one's getting caught doing steroids in baseball doesn't mean no one's doing steroids, right? Just because no one's getting caught with the NA scene being cheating or anything like that doesn't mean that they're not cheating. It just means they haven't gotten caught yet, or it's at such a low tier level that no one really cares. You know, like, I wonder how much, what news would this have been had it just been some random Indian CSGO team and not Optic? You know, like, I think it have been blown up as big as it was.
Not as big, but it still would have been a big story had it happened at that big of an event.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, anytime that there's a LAN, right, and there's cheating, I think it's going to be a big deal for sure.
It's just so rare to catch somebody in a LAN event. So,
red-handed.
Yeah, the way they caught him, it would have been popular anyway. It would have been a meme to begin with the way he pushed the admin away. Like, all of that stuff still would have made headlines. It does make it a bigger story since Optic is tied to it. I'm sure more people heard about it than they would have earlier, just because the Green Wall Nation is so damn big. So, yeah, I think more people heard of it because it was Optic, but it still would have been a big topic in the CSGO community.
Agreed.
Well, it's not fake news.
Not fake news.
Only time will be able to tell what happens to the Indian CSGO community. And thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. We might be having to send our thoughts and prayers to one man who has thoughts, and that is Thorin, Duncan Shields. As he, I don't know if people know this, does a show of his own on his YouTube channel called Thorin's Thoughts. It's about 5 minutes worth of content every episode, but it's pretty good content nonetheless. And recently he came out with a video of 26 minutes of Puron spiciness. Came out and talked about the latest major for FaZe in London, which, you know, we talked about a lot on the show. We had our thoughts on the major, saying that we just felt like it didn't feel like a major, down from the production, the talent level, regardless of play. I mean, that's whatever. You can't, not the major's fault if the play is kind of boring and map selection is boring and all that. But just from a production level, it didn't feel as big as it was, right? It kind of just felt like a normal tournament. And so Thorin did the same thing. What is blowing up on my phone? Thorin also did something where, obviously, he knows a lot more inside information than we do. And basically outed FaZe. He outed FaZe and ECS, which is the same company, for the sake of the conversation, saying that they cut corners on their talent fees, they cut corners on who they hired, and everything. So I have some pieces of that audio, if you guys want to play some, just in case if our listener hasn't heard some of it. We can play some if you'd like. I can play it kind of going in chronological order, and we can kind of talk about it as we go on. So this is pretty much how he started the episode. Also, disclaimer, I did cut this up from the video. Some of the in-betweens might be cut. It's not a way of trying to change what he said. I feel like it's still the same principle. If you really care that much, go watch the full thing on YouTube.
Now, in this particular case, that is especially a snob that I wasn't hired to this major, because this major took place in my home country. It was the first major ever held in the UK in terms of CSGO.
So right off the bat, right? Everyone has their thoughts on Thorn. You hate him or you love him. Sometimes you can be in between, but for the most part, everyone has their opinion on it. So I'm watching this video and I think instantly within the first couple of minutes, he says that and I'm like, okay, so this is one of those videos where he's just upset that he got snubbed from being in a hometown major.
So more to your point, Tim, I mean, I watched the first 15 minutes and he started off like that and I'm like, do I even want to watch the last 15 minutes? Because it just feels like a scorned woman, right? Like it's just coming from a place of not being productive, just him bitching. But I'm glad you guys got me to watch the last of it, because the final like 7 minutes was pretty spicy.
And I think he does make solid points. Like I do think, and we'll get into him here. But I do think,
but even on this one, I think this should have came out later. I do get why he feels snubbed, right? Like I know we say, oh, so what? It's it doesn't matter what country it's in. I mean, it is kind of a big deal that it's in London. UKCS was relevant for the first time in this major in CSGO's history, with both Def from Complexity and from Big. So I think even from an analyst standpoint, it kind of would have been cool, like when Moses did it in Columbus. Like it was kind of fun to have that local representation. Like it does add a little something to it. And when it's a major, anytime I feel like you can add something, you should. I don't feel like that should have been his starting comment, in his Thorn's thoughts, and maybe he should have followed up on that a little bit later in bringing that in. So I see where you're coming from. But yeah, I mean, I do have the same sentiment that it would have made a little bit of a difference.
And let me preface this. Like, I think he's brilliant, a brilliant CSGO mind. Like, he's in tune with the scene, a great historian. It's just, if you want jobs, you have to present, especially now with sponsorships and all the money that's coming into CS, like you have to carry yourself in a way that's professional almost all the time.
Well, and, that's a good and he segue, doesn't do that. Man. It's a good segue to this next clip, because in this clip, that's exactly what he's talking about, is how he believes talent should be looked at for a major.
But I personally think the way you should hire talent for majors, and this goes beyond CSGO to League of Legends for the World Championship, TI for the International, is this should be one of the only events, because it's something that is going to be the World Championship, the big event of the year, where you put aside any personal politics, whether you like someone, whether you don't like someone, whether you like something about someone, whether you don't like something, industry politics, who do they work for, what's our past working relationship with them, and you should just hire the best talent, who you think legitimately is the best in terms of talent. Those are the people you should hire.
Now, in a perfect gumdrop world where everything is fair, I 100% agree with that statement. And yeah, I totally think that is true. That is what should be making a major a major. And maybe that's why this one didn't feel that way, because you did have guys like Daps making his desk debut at a major. Like,
yeah, not his major debut.
No.
Like his first time
on
ever
the
desk.
On the desk was on what was is supposed to be the biggest stage for CSGO. Now, I know we have made our points that really just hasn't been the way lately, that majors aren't the biggest stage, but they are, for better or for worse, and even though they don't feel like it, they are. So for Daps to make his debut where people work their entire career to say, I worked a major, I totally get his point, and I think that was his point, right? It's not so much the fact that they didn't hire the best, it's that they hired first-timers.
And maybe it's Bardolph kind of throwing him a bone because he's too busy shaking down like low rent podcasts for money. But
you got to pay him for a liner, so
yeah, I know. But yeah, I mean, I Daps, like watching him, his analysis I felt was kind of on point, his predictions on point. But like you said, Tim, from a charismatic standpoint, this is the biggest event of the year. You need to be on point in all aspects, right? Like, you need to know what you're talking about, but you also need to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he was talking about. He was not entertaining.
He was so boring. Okay. Yeah,
he was so boring behind the desk.
Yeah. He wasn't comfortable, which is not his fault. Like, he's not used to it. You're just not going to be comfortable in that type of setting for your first event. And he looked out of place. He didn't bring that like charm, you know, to the event. There was so much downtime. I don't know if we have that audio, if we go into that. So tell me if I'm jumping the gun, but there was, you know, they mentioned in there was so much downtime in this event because of the delays that took place. And it was so boring in that downtime. We talked about things. Remember, we were like, oh man, they don't have any clips or anything set up, right?
No backstory for players, nothing.
Yeah, you rely then on the talent at that point, the analysts at that point, to fill in that space with banter. That's where somebody like Thorin does a really good job and has kind of built up his brand even from a banter standpoint, right? The way he goes back and forth, the way he's not afraid to call out players. And then you look at Threat. I mean, Threat's another person that, man, Threat's got a brilliant mind. I mean, I could listen to him talk Counter-Strike for a long time, but that's not really what I wanted at the major. You know, like at the major, I wanted to be, again, if Threat's doing a regular DreamHack event, not a big deal, right?
Well,
like,
it's not going to bother me. You said Brett, and I was like, damn, bro, he's right there.
Like, I know. What? Threat, the old coach of NIP. But, like, again, on the desk, he...
Wow, so much for being a friend, okay.
Didn't bring a ton of personality. So it was a really, really bland crew. They were fine. They knew what they were talking about. But it was incredibly boring. Right. I mean...
Now, I will also love to point out that the person who is saying you should put personal beefs aside is the man with more personal beefs than anyone in CSGO.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Thorin would just love if everyone just forgot everything that he said about them before also going to a job interview. Because, you know, as Doug in our Twitch chat elegantly put, fear the man with nothing to lose. Like, in Thorin's mind, he's probably like, well, apparently I've burnt every bridge out there except for CSGO Summit, which he's just recently been announced to do. Why not just go off, right? He's probably already written off that he's never going to work another DreamHack event again because he hasn't been invited to one since, like, DreamHack 3. Or not DreamHack 3, but ECS Season 3. He said that in his video. So maybe he just thought, YOLO, I got nothing to lose here. And I'm going to out these guys.
Yeah, and it's not really like he's doing himself... Well, I mean, he's not doing himself any favors, but he's also not doing guys that he's really close to any favors. Richard Lewis had to come out and, like, just write a Twitter wall of just like, all right, hey, a little damage control here. I'm cool with James and Mikkel. You know, they've been great to me, but... You know,
Thorin's super nice
has,
too.
So
again, Thorin's super
yeah. So he's, I mean, he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't know what he's doing to people that are kind of still in his corner.
He's playing the gray area, but he was still leaning towards Thorin, in my opinion. Like, he wasn't denying anything that Thorin said. All he said was, look, I still have a good relationship with James and Mikhail or whatever, right? So, I'm just letting y'all know that I don't have beef with you guys. Like, if you didn't select me, that's fine. But I don't have any hatred towards you. Also, Thorin's not lying. Like, that's basically what it felt like.
I also think, though, that hiring the best talent may not always trump hiring the best representation, right? Like I said, in a perfect world, you would love to hire people and not think personal beef or politics will get in the way, but that's not how it works. The best man always doesn't get the job. Now, we said before, neither should a first-timer, right? Neither should Daps, but...
Dude, they could have paid Daps nothing, and he would have done this.
Right.
Like,
that's
Daps and Threat,
sure
even
they
Threat.
Didn't pay much.
Sure. They probably just like, hey, we'll pay for your flight, but you're paying for your own hotel if you want this. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he still would have said yes to this.
Yeah, you're eating in my keyboard money, all right?
Yeah, James Roth was like, I got a lot of custom keyboards, man. So let's get into that, because this is one thing that we've definitely talked about on the show, and I definitely agree 100% with Thorne on, and that is the conflict of interest about James Bardolph doing this in the scene.
People outside the scene, some of them still are not aware that James Bardolph is not just a commentator for Face It. This is someone who was part of the actual structure of the company beyond just commentator, to the extent that in the past for Face It events, he has been the one deciding who is hired for the event and talent at the event himself. And as far as I'm aware, and my research for this event, was still the case now, that he was someone who either directly decided hires or had a massive say in hires, while also being essentially someone occupying a spot that a hire would take at the event itself. Now, for anyone thinking, what, is that unusual? Yes. This is, in my opinion, a massive conflict of interest. Because what you're saying is, this guy's my colleague if I work the event, while simultaneously being my boss. How am I going to interact with him? Am I going to interact with him as a colleague or as my boss? Also, when it comes to the event, is he going to treat me as my boss or as my colleague? That's going to lead to fucked up situations, as it did at this major.
Forgot to mention, I didn't edit this either. So, you know, not a family show for recording.
Family show.
No ratings on this one. No, I 100% agree with them. We've talked about it on this show. We've talked about it off the show. If you are ever in our Discord chat when we're just hanging out, we're very unfiltered there. we've talked about it many of times, that it makes no sense how James Bardolph can still be hired on at all these other events when he was also, or when he is, he has ownership in Face It and ECS. Like, when he worked the E-League major in Boston, right? That was the one before London.
It was the last one, the Boston major.
So, like, when he worked at Boston...
Him and DDK ran the... I think they did the final match,
the finals
didn't they?
There.
Yeah.
I think you're right. So, we know one thing, right? And we know how a major is picked, or at least the majority of it. And that's Valve will go to the major... They basically take all of the big organizations, the talking heads for ESL, ECS, Face It, E-League, Star Ladder, whatever, right? Name any other people that might want to run a major. They all go to these majors, they meet with Valve, and basically give them their pitch, saying, this is when we think we can do it, we can get this stadium, we want to get this in here, this is the money we're dedicating to it, and then Valve makes a decision and says, okay, we're going to go with you. That's how they do it. And to me, I always thought it was very suspect that, like, E-League is going to hire James Bardolph to be a caster, yet he is also going to that same tournament to try to talk Valve out of giving E-League the next major.
But doesn't that go directly to Thorin's point when he's talking about look at other companies, and they've put the BS aside to bring in what they thought at that time was either the best pairing, when you talk about James Bardolph and DDK versus a, Henry G and Sadakis type thing, right? ESL put the BS aside, and they selected it. What they thought at the time was this would be the best pairing for our Boston major. And the big complaint then is you guys didn't do that. And it is a huge conflict of interest, right? Because if he mm-hmm. does have beef with somebody and doesn't want them at the event, or, you know, maybe somebody talked trash and you just don't want to, you know, you're doing it out of spite to that person. Doesn't matter what the reasoning is. It's the fact that you have that type of power to do that can make it a messy situation. I do think there had to have been some sort of issue here, right? For them to make the selections that they did. Like, now that you start to put all these pieces together and you hear it from Thorin, it makes you think, like, hey, they didn't hire Threat and Daps because they thought they were the new up-and-coming talent and they were doing something revolutionary here. Mm-hmm. It's like, they obviously didn't either want to pay the top dollar, or James Bardolph, like he mentioned, is probably a salaried employee and he sees what the asking rate is and was like, I'm not making that. Why would you make that? You know, it's a huge issue. And unfortunately, they chose to not take the high road in this case. And I think Thorne's right. Like, I don't see him getting a major final outside of maybe their own major because of the way they handled this, you know, unless they get another major there at Face It soon. But yeah, it's a step in the wrong direction. Like, you just don't do it that way for the Super Bowl. And that's what they chose to do.
When you say you don't do it that way for the Super Bowl, as in
Like, you pick the top two. Like, you're always going to put your number one pairing. It's not like if they went to a Super Bowl, went to Fox, you're not going to have Troy and Buck not be the main heads, right? Like, you bring in the big boys.
But you're also not going to have Al Michaels and what's the dude's name with Al Michaels?
Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth,
yeah.
Because they don't belong to Fox. You know, even though you might think that they're the better pairing, they don't belong to them. And I know we're not at that point yet in esports and how CSGO is broken down, but I think with these type of personal beefs, you're going to see it that way.
It's only with Bart off the right, because he's the only analyst out there, or caster for that matter, that's associated in the sense of an ownership or not ownership, but a executive type position with the company, right? All these other guys are freelancers. They just get hired on and get chosen. So I just think it's a little different in his situation because he's the only one doing it, right? Like Collinsworth versus Joe Buck and all these guys, like they're tied to it. Yeah.
That's how it's been done for years and years and years with traditional sports. That's what I'm saying right now. It's not that way, but James Bardolph is kind of doing that, but only with him and DDK, which is
he only did it for his own event. Exactly. That's the problem. Exactly. Nobody else does that. His event is the only event that took that stance and was like, oh yeah, we're gonna make ourselves the top two, and we're gonna.
You know
pick
what,
who
guys?
We
really reviewed the tapes and we listened to everyone's opinion, and after much consideration, we decided that I'm the best pick.
Awesome. Yeah, we are the best picks for this.
Yeah. So, see,
but not only that, we would have all, I think, been fine with it had they decided to do that. But you still brought in the best people underneath you then, right? So even if you think you're the best, which is fine with that thought process to be like, hey, like, I mean, it didn't surprise me that he did the finals, right? I'm not going to say that it was surprising that he did because he's with the company. But it's just if he had brought in at least, well, let's just say Thorne, you know, who cares if you want him or not, just the big names in underneath them, it would have been okay. And I don't think this would have been an issue. I don't think Thorne would have made this type of video. I just think the way they did it below James is where the bigger issue comes into play.
And if it was a money play, that's kind of a poor move and poor like forward thinking on his part because, yeah, I mean, you save a few dollars here, a few dollars there, but do you think they're going to be getting a major anytime soon?
No,
there was nothing special about the main. No. Take out the delays, right? The delays we don't put on them. Let's just say those are Valve's network errors or whatever. The event as a whole felt super boring. Like there was nothing cool about it. There was no cool animations. There was nothing innovative.
Yeah. And we had this conversation with Jason Baker Alchemist last week. You have to have something in especially in CSGO, because face it, it's not the only one that deals with tech issues. They all deal with tech issues, but the other organizations are starting to get ideas in play of, okay, we got a tech delay. Let's go to this interview or something. They
always
didn't have that.
To have something
it was just awkward
ready.
Banter, dude. It was also almost to the point where it was uncomfortable sometimes, just the back and forth because they're like, well, what
too,
are we talking
like,
about?
Right? Like, look at who, and look at the talent you want to hire. You know, if you want to hire Daps and Threat, that's okay, but just know their capabilities as well. First time event guys are not like Daps is not going to, you're not going to be able to talk to the Dap and be like, hey man, give me, you know, 5 minutes on this. And he's not going to be able just to be like, oh, well, okay. Let me rip off 5 minutes like Richard Lewis. Right. That's one thing that Alchemist said that he was always able to do at E-League. Well, yeah, I mean, you can throw it to Richard Lewis when everyone kind of touts him as one of the biggest names in the scene and one of the more talented reporters out there. Of course you can do that with him. And that's why you hire the better people, right? Because you're going to get better results from it. I just think we're at that. I think we're at the crossroads where now, and James Bardolph, he did tweet out saying that in a couple days, whenever they're done doing whatever event they're doing, he is going to make a response video. So we're going to obviously talk about that and probably play some audio from his response because I am curious to see what he says. Like, I am curious to see, he's like, no, we did talk to person A, B, and C. They said not going to do it, or their asking price was ridiculous. They knew our budget. In fact, I took less money for this event, right? Because if he comes out and says something like that, throw this tape away because it's it's all, you know, everything that we're saying is voided out. Because think about, like, if he did come out there and say, you know what, because I am making money being part owner here, I'm not even going to consider myself any type of casting fee or any BS like that. We'll give it to other people.
I wonder if he did.
He's going to say something that contradicts the whole video, obviously, right? Whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I honestly, without even hearing the other side, which is, you know, obviously we'll still have to wait, but listening to Thorin, looking at Richard's responses, Thorin doesn't mess around with this kind of stuff,
No. Right?
Like, he really is a no BS kind of guy. That's what also makes a lot of people dislike him, is he's very direct, very straight to the point. But he's not one to, like, make up stuff, right, and pull crap out of thin air. He usually has, well, he always has facts behind him as a historian, right? Even when he comes to the game of Counter-Strike, he knows his stuff, right? So for him to put out this video, discuss it so openly, he knows it's going to draw a lot of attention. It'd be very hard pressed to find that this was, like, not factual, and there's so much more to the story. Yeah, this was like a kill shot
for the kill.
This was Eminem putting down MGK. Like,
yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say.
This is exactly what this was here. And so, yeah, it's going to be hard for me to believe anything otherwise when we know he's probably touched.
And now,
content.
I do have, like, this is like the last minute or minute and a half of his video. Where
how many bleeps are going to be in here?
Oh, man.
There are no beeps, so earmuffs, kids.
You have this boring crew of people. Even if I like some of them are fucking boring. And you got all these delays. You needed all these fills. You needed someone to be able to put in some entertainment. And you didn't have any because you fucked up your talent hires. So you know what? Quite frankly, good. I'm glad your major was fucking shit. I'm glad that it was the worst in history in the context of what you had available, your resources, and the year it took place in. I won't say it's karma because I don't think that concept actually exists beyond like a metaphor. But I will say that it reminds me of that old quote I always say, it was like from the fucking Hopi Indians or something, that your character is your destiny. Well, you know what? Your destiny for how this major turned out is due to the character who you were as a company and how you made your decisions and what principles they were based on. So this major is who you are as a company, face it. Play off the fun angle all you want, because that's all you got, baby. You can't put on a suit and try and be number one and do the best major ever. You come off looking like fucking clown shoes if you do. So you know what? There's plenty of areas in which, face it, wasn't to blame for how the major was handled. This one, they were entirely to blame for, and it's a rare instance of where I'm glad all this gets outed. Fuck y'all.
Oh god, that's how I want to leave my job. Right there.
Oh man,
that's how I want to start doing this show right there.
That is a man who knew damn well while going into it, I'm never gonna get hired on for Face It again, and I'm okay with that. Let it rip. He pretty much said everything that we just said, but just for a man not looking for a job. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. This is not affecting any employment if we say it here. No. With him, that will be his last event with Face It. I say his last event, whenever his last event was, stage 3 or stage 2 back then. But yeah, he's definitely going to be looking for other events. He also talked trash about Epicenter not that long ago. I saw a tweet come out where he had blasted Epicenter and said, I'm never working with them again. Well, Epicenter's talent just released. He's at the top of the list. So,
is he really?
I guess you never know. But
know, he did that with ESL, right? Wasn't it ESL who said they are never going to hire him?
He did it with like every major.
And now
every major tournament organizer, he's probably done something to irk, irritate, or whatever with. But yeah, this one was pretty over the top. Definitely don't see him
this
doing
one
that.
I don't think is.
But he wasn't wrong. Wasn't wrong.
I don't think this one's going to help because, again, the difference here is James Bardolph. It's about James Bardolph, right? He called him straight out. And it's not just, this isn't just some higher up in the corporate office with the money. And he's like, dude, I'm just writing the checks. I don't really care what you have to say about me. Go and do your thing, and I won't ever talk to you again. I'm paying you your money. But with James Bardolph, I feel like it's a bit more personal. Like, maybe behind the scenes they didn't get along, and now it's finally coming out where, you know, I didn't cut the pieces up from the audio, but he was saying how, you know, back in 2015 or whenever Face It really started, which I remember back then, they were super small, only doing online tournaments. Like, they all were working with them because they were friends with James. They were small. They were starting it up, and they wanted to help out. And now that they are popular and have the money and everything, it's almost like they as in Face It and James Bardolph, have kind of all forgotten that. And it's just, I think, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah, it's Face It's first major, right? So you'd think they would have rewarded essentially those who helped him, right? Helped them get to that point. Who put in a lot of the work early on in events with them. So they feel snubbed. I don't blame them for feeling that way. The major sucked, so I'm going to have to agree. If it was a good major otherwise, and I heard this video, it would have been hard to care. But in my opinion, it was a poorly done major. So, yeah, it makes them look pretty damn bad right now.
I'm interested to see what the backlash is going to be, because these are two figures that in the very clicky CSGO scene are liked. So I'm interested to see like what the middle ground, like the people that like them both, because that's going to be a lot of people, right?
Yeah,
are going to react.
I'm kind of more curious too, because in reality, to me, I don't really care either way, right?
It's just,
you know, yes, the major's boring and it sucks when you have sucky talent, but guess who's watching the major either way? This guy. So yeah. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I just enjoy the drama. I'm curious to see all the people that side with Thorin and how quickly none of them get hired on to do another Face It event, right? Because then that will kind of show on James Bardolph end of like, oh, okay, so he is kind of playing favorites and doing the personal game, which if you're the boss calling the shots, you have all the right to do that in my book as well.
I don't think you'll see talent come out and say a whole lot on this. It'll be everybody else. They never else. Do. Yeah, but the talent
they
never say,
do. They know.
They will. They know, but they won't say anything publicly. Like, why would you say something as a freelancer to hurt your chances with one of the big four or five, right? So I just don't think you'll hear a lot. I think Richard Lewis is kind of fed up and is like done with the CS scene in general anyway. So
he's
even
got his
if
own
he
thing
did
going on with like
the betting and
whatever all, site he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, he's got stuff going on. And I just don't think he's had enough with the CS scene. So for him, if he wants to come out and say more, he can. But the Spongeys and all that, these guys, they're not going to say anything. Like, there's nothing for them to add on to it. They know that he said it. He's opened his mouth. People will believe it for the most part. I think everyone will move on ultimately, but it just makes for a fun. It's going to make for a fun couple of days here, especially when James's release comes out. That's going to be.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to that.
That's
going to
be the fun part, because like we said, I'm sure everything Thorin said definitely has truth behind it. So yeah. It's going to be really fun to watch how Bardolph now spins
this.
It. Yeah.
I agree.
No, I really did feel like I was the best one for the finals. Like, how do you spin that?
I want to know what he says about everybody else. Like, he's got to have a reasoning for why they selected Daps. I know one of the listeners was mentioning, well, he had a lit video for his.
I think that was a joke.
I would hope. Was that a joke?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I hope that was a joke.
There is not an actual video of Daps being
like,
lit in an
dude,
audition.
That's how they go off of this. But it had to be some sort of audition that was pretty badass, right?
Bro, we went like, and talked to Daps in life, and the first thing he did was ask if he was getting paid for a liner. Like, no, bro, the liner is like 2 seconds of your time.
I'm not giving you a dime. No, I mean, yeah, I want to hear why Bardolph selected who they selected, how they came to that conclusion, why they thought it was the best fit for a major. I don't care to know why he selected himself for the finals. To me, that's irrelevant. I would do it, too, if it was my company. TCR was hosting a finals. I'll tell you right now, we're doing... I'm just going to announce it now. We're doing the main event.
I'll probably compete in the finals.
Yeah, you know what? 100%.
Skadoodle, you're out. I'm filling in.
We're in the show match at the very least, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
so that being said, if the whole Thorin and Bardolph beat, decides to burn the esports scene down and you go deep, deep, deep inside the talent pool and you need three people to host an event, our asking price is really cheap. Like, I'm talking dinner a night and we'll figure out the rest. We can share one king-size bed It's okay.
We're willing to skip dinner, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. So, you know, if Daps isn't available for the next tournament, let us know. Let us know. Let's get into some e-news. We do have quite a bit of it, though, because, like I said, we didn't get to it last week. So let's jump into some of this. We don't really have to talk about a whole lot. In CSGO, Snax is officially benched from Mouse Sports. So now you have Stiko, depending on who you're asking, is back with Mouse Sports. So he's made a trip around the world. Literally. And now he's back. So we'll see what happens there. In the most recent CSGO news, though, Skadoodle is officially not retiring, but stepping down is the word. So,
Tim's up, Jesus.
Take it with me. Man, I
have retiring, though, right? Can we all agree on that, probably?
How many episodes in a row have we been saying Skadoodle just needs to do it?
Give me a month to see how his stream does, and then I'll tell you.
If he's actually done. Bro, if he's going to stream with Shroud, he's okay.
Yeah, right.
They're never going to play CS, I'll tell you that much, if he's streaming with Shroud.
Shroud plays CS once in a blue moon.
Man, once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon, he does it. So, you know, good on that, though, like we said. I mean, obviously, I respect him for everything that he's done for Cloud9, but this was finally the step that's needed, that Cloud9 can finally look at their roster and be like, how do we want to build this out? You know, what are we going to do going forward? Is Flusha going to stick around? We'll see. I know Skadoodle is still playing with them in some of the Pro League matchups, because obviously they haven't found a replacement yet for him. But that needs to happen sooner than later, because that bro just doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, he's gone full on stream mode.
Yeah, full on. Overwatch League World Cup is November 2nd through the 3rd, so we'll talk about that next week. Boy, I think it's only about the third time I'm bringing this up on this podcast, and the only other time I can really remember it is when I was talking about a dude sending his dick pics to someone. And that's League of Legends.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Brett.
That's off.
No, man.
Off air. No, I watched probably like my third League of Legends game ever over the weekend. And that is only because, of course, Cloud9 defeated Africa Freaks 3-0 to advance to the semifinals. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't understand any of it. I'm a Dota guy. That's what I watch for my MOBA of choice. But I get League. I get the concept of it. I'm more so this the cloud. I'm a Cloud9 fanboy to begin with. But like Anuj, even this has you excited. Even you were talking to me about it.
Because I'm on the opposite end of you. I'm a League guy versus a Dota guy. I've always enjoyed League, and I've never actually played Dota before. So to me, this was cool because the Koreans just dominate League of Legends, right? So this is why this is a story. This is why it's even coming up on the show today, is G2 beat RNG, who in betting odds, RNG was even on the betting line to win Worlds, okay? So, I mean, that they're a very dominant team to hold an even line in a championship series type thing. G2 was 150-1 going into the event. Okay, so you think of the underdog style betting on this when you can actually bet on League of Legends, even if you're on DraftKings and stuff like that. They have all of this on there to bet on. And so, I mean, you're talking about 150-1 odds beating an even. Insane. So that's why it was a huge story. There's no Korean teams, I believe, left in the semifinals, which take place next weekend. But it's cool. You got an American team, you got a couple of European teams remaining, and then one more Asian team, which is not Korean, I know. But yeah, that's going to come up next weekend. It'll be the semis, and Cloud9 Fnatic
plays the 20th. Yeah, they play Fnatic on Sunday. Now, this is why I don't understand this. I'm going to have to like really look at the time to understand the time differences.
It's approximately 3 a.m.
on Sunday morning.
Correct. It'll be Sunday morning around 3 a.m.
I could technically wake up to watch it and be fine. I don't work that day. So,
it might be like, if they do it at the same time as the other events, it actually started around 1 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah.
That's when the last two games, I think, started around.
So I could stay up till 1. 3 a.m. I might actually have to just be waking up. Maybe I'll set an alarm for like 4 and catch the end of it. But
I'll probably do a rerun for League.
It's exciting, man. It's exciting to see all the different rookies and stuff on Cloud9 for their roster do it. There's just a lot of storylines coming out of the worlds right now. And that is the maximum conversation we have for League of Legends. So hope
better
you enjoyed
quota.
It. In other news, Cloud9, this was last week, as a organization, raises $50 million in the Series B funding. Last year, they only raised $20 million, but the bigger thing is that they are on Forbes' list to be one of the next billion-dollar industries, with a B. So,
and Jack is doing fairly well.
Not bad.
All
bad
he does is
all.
win.
Cloud9 is having an amazing year, though, across the board.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. They won a major in CSGO. They won the Overwatch League with the London Spitfires. And now, just this, I mean, they're already won worlds for League as far as, like, the fans are concerned, you know?
Yeah.
So it's insane. And the best they have for it is Flusha. Anyways. So we have... This is local news. Arlington Esports Arena, which is where the ECS finals are being held at next month, release some concept arts if you're interested. This is kind of big news because it's going to be like a standalone esports arena in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Did you guys get a chance to see the concept art?
I did.
I think Anuj and I were talking about this. It was very... I just felt...
Very sanitized.
Not impressed.
It's very,
it's like really hard to like get. I don't know. I mean, they seem overdone in the terms of how the visuals look on there. A little underwhelming in terms of how
I'm not gonna get hyped for
concept art,
desk chairs, and like it not being elevated like stadium seating. I'm not gonna get hyped about that.
Normally the concept art for things are the things that are supposed to be unbelievable, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Concept arts are supposed to have like flying cars and, you know, aliens and everything like that. Like, I'm supposed to be, you know, watching Blitzball or something, right? Like, that's supposed to be the concept art I'm looking for. When the concept art is just looks to be an empty convention center with some screens and fold-out chairs, I'm like, uh-oh. Like,
yeah. These fold-out chairs really better not be fold-out chairs. I mean, I really hope they're not.
Unless they're the fold-out chairs that, like, basketball players sit on the sideline, because those things...
Unless they're doing that because the stage kind of, like, changes, like, maybe depending on what you're doing, like, you can adjust the arena around or something.
Stadium. Or... Yeah. They're just doing that because they don't want to invest everything in permanent housing in case this is a bust. That's my theory on it. So they don't want to put any permanent seating in. And then
folding chairs are easy to close up and walk out. Yeah.
They keep it.
Gosh, I hope that's not the thought process behind it. I don't think it is, obviously. But, man, I hope they... we'll see. We'll see pretty soon, won't we?
Soon. We will be there. To see the ECS finals. Hopefully with media passes, in case James Bardoff is listening. I was totally kidding when I said the major sucks last segment. I think it was great.
We didn't say the word
can't
sucked,
wait
did
to
we?
See you. Can't wait
did
to
we say
see
anything
you.
About it being bad? No. No. One of my favorites, honestly.
And in other news, Korean organization, Korean OGN, expands to North America. They are a huge esports tournament organizer in Korea. They are expanding to North America and are looking to spend upwards to $100 million to do so. And so what other game would they choose for their first tournament? Saying, hey, welcome America, this is our big showing on how we do things big. Then with a good old PUBG tournament. Does that get you hyped?
Kind of makes sense. Kind of makes sense a little bit, I guess.
There are two other BR games that I would rather watch right now than PUBG. It's so far down on my, like, want-to-see list.
I don't know, man. It opens... they say, though, and I couldn't find anywhere in the article and exactly where it's going to be, but they say it's going to open up next year. Early next year, so... We'll see. Production value can go a long ways, though, even for a PUBG tournament. Now, in serious news, this is very important, and I need everyone to listen. It has been officially announced May 31st through June 2nd of 2019. DreamHack will be in Dallas, Texas. In our very own backyard. So obviously we go to DreamHack Austin every year. Well, this year they moved it to Dallas, to the K. Bailey Hutchinson Center, which is the Dallas Convention Center, for those who don't know. And it is huge. The big thing about this is that they're making it not only a normal DreamHack event, but it's also going to have DreamHack Masters there, which is the big boy tournament for CSGO. They need the space, which is why they moved it to Dallas. And, can't wait. We will definitely be there, and we're definitely going to be doing the BYOC again and all that.
What better place to do it than the birthplace of CS?
That's right. So I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be good. I'm sad we're leaving Austin. I'm going to miss 6th Street and all the fun times of just being able to walk pretty much anywhere in a 3-block radius. But
I'm okay with it coming here for a year or two. I do hope it goes back to Austin eventually at some point.
Like when maybe it's not a Masters event?
Yeah, yeah, just because Austin has treated us well the past couple of years. Yeah.
And it's, you know, kind of part of our trip, right? It's getting away from home. Here, we're still going to get a hotel and everything, but...
I still told my wife it's in Austin.
Yeah.
Anuj, your wife told my wife they should get a hotel room and have a girls' weekend out.
Oh, hell no.
In Dallas. In the same hotel.
Actually, in the same hotel?
I need your what? I need to, you Tim, to tell your wife.
Tim, Airbnb. I told you. This is our way. This is the solution. There is none.
Like, they're like, oh, we can go out with you. And I was like, ha ha, no.
It's like,
what do they think we're going to do, right? Like,
I'm definitely going to have an affair.
We're going to be around 18 hours of those 24 hours. No, that's generous. 20 of those 24 hours, we're going to be like around sweaty nerds playing video games.
It's like, babe, the only thing that turns me on at these events is the water-cooled PCs.
Like, right.
That's what gets me going.
Or if Anuj sees an ace, a 1v5 ace in CS, he's ready to make a baby.
That would be it. Like, other than those two things.
DreamHack.
No. They just got to understand we're not partying at these events. We game 18 hours of the day. The other 6 hours, maybe a mix of sleep, smash, eat, poop.
The video game smash, not the
sexual
other kind of
intercourse
smash.
Is the last thing on my mind that weekend. Yeah. All I want to do is game. But we're going to do plenty of it because we will definitely be there. Like I said, we'll do BYOC and we'll talk about it obviously more. It's ways away, but I'm already in full-on planning mode, so I'm sure I'll annoy everyone in our group with constant daily reminders on who's going. But it's going to be good. There's normally like 11, 12 of us, and it's a good time for all. Plus, we always get to meet some listeners out there, and especially now that it's being in Dallas, I'm sure we'll get to meet a few more. But that will do it for episode 127 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. You can hit us up on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg, and you can hit up in Discord, say hi to us. We're always in voice chat, like, every single night. So always come by and say hey. We are pretty much hopping into Call of Duty every night right now. If Call of Duty on PC is your thing, let us know. We would love to get some CWL rule customs going. I appreciate all of our listeners in our Twitch chat today. Man, it had to have been like 100 of you. We've got Doug and so many other people I can't even name right now. It's just bonkers. appreciate that.
It's going crazy in there. It's going crazy in there.
Let's Trump fluff this up. Trump fluff it up.
But we will be back next week. We'll talk some Overwatch World Cup and anything else that's happening in the world of esports. But for Brett, for Anuj, this is Tim. We'll see you next week.